Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is the Brian Lehrer Show podcast. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but everything we do is available on demand at WNYC.org. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC podcasts are supported by Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, providing comprehensive centers in cardiovascular services, interventional radiology, and cancer care. More information at www.holyname.org.
We have fought among ourselves before in our history over big things and small, with worse vitriol and bitterness than we experience today. Let us exercise our responsibilities as free people, but let us remember we are not enemies. We are compatriots defending ourselves from a real enemy.
Senator John McCain giving a commencement speech last week at Jerry Falwell's Liberty University. He's speaking this morning at what they call Class Day for Columbia University's graduating seniors, and he'll be giving the formal commencement address at the new school on Friday, but not without some controversy. Groups of students and faculty at both Columbia and the new school have been protesting their school's decision to invite Senator McCain. And no, this is not Dick Cheney. This is not Donald Rumsfeld. This is Senator John McCain, a conservative Republican on many things, to be sure, but a senator often described as a maverick who the protesters might agree with on some major issues, like his McCain-Feingold campaign finance reform or his Kennedy-McCain immigration reform bill that is too liberal for President Bush or for the House. So why protest even the invitation to Senator McCain? Let us ask Brittany Charlton, the New School University Student Senate Vice Chairman. She's in our studio, along with faculty member Jan Clausen, who teaches poetry and creative writing at Eugene Lang College at New School University. Brittany Charlton, Jan Clausen, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having us.
And Brittany, I'll start with you. Why protest Senator McCain?
I think we're just really extremely disappointed to have someone like McCain who, you know, is very conservative in his voting record and certainly not on every issue that he's ever worked on. But our graduation is supposed to be a day of celebration. And to have someone come like that as an implicit endorsement from the university is really just a contradiction to our education.
Faculty member Clausen, same thing.
Well, I would just add that in our petition campaign asking President Kerry to withdraw the invitation, we've been very clear that we regard graduation as a different kind of event from any normal speaking or lecture event that might happen at a university. So it's very much, we affirm the need for debate and for controversial views to be expressed, but the graduation is different. It's where the university shows what it is, as well as celebrates the graduates.
So if Senator McCain was invited to speak in some other forum, you don't think you would protest the invitation?
Not at all. We would certainly want a forum where we could debate and discuss and tell him what we think as well as hear what he thinks.
What about these major initiatives on which you might agree with Senator McCain? Brittany, there, I certainly don't attribute any views to you necessarily because I don't know what your views are on any issue, except that you're wearing an anti-war button. So among Republicans, McCain is considered to be a maverick, a moderate. He's, you know, hardly the darling of the right wing. Does that not matter to you?
I feel that that is a view that is not necessarily true. There have been statistical analysis of his voting record, and he's been voted as the third most conservative member in the Senate. So I don't know that this, you know, maverick image is necessarily all that true. I mean, it feels like a real falsity to me.
What about the immigration bill with Kennedy, which has the path to citizenship for the guest workers without them having to go back to their home countries? What about McCain-Feingold, which was so hard fought against by corporations and the extreme right?
This just isn't about, you know, specific issues. I don't think any of us are trying to demonize him or his work. But, you know, our commencement is really a celebration. And to have him represented there just isn't appropriate. You know, and his overall career has not been, you know, something that runs parallel with the new school's principles.
And Jan Klussen, do you as a faculty member, I mean, obviously you're supporting this effort, so you agree. But does it come down to some degree what a university education is about? Should a commencement speaker be chosen because he or she agrees with the political views of the majority of the student? Or wouldn't somebody who may well be the next president of the United States, is at least among that leading group who might be the next president of the United States, and to consider their views and agree or disagree, be more representative of what a college education is about?
Well, a couple of issues here. One is that the way in which Senator McCain was chosen, I think, has presented a lot of people in the university with problems. There's an honorary degree committee with faculty members who recommend folks for honorary degrees, and the
speaker
is someone who gets an honorary degree. However, McCain didn't come through that committee. The accepted policy has allowed for the president to choose the speaker and give an honorary degree independent of that committee. But that process actually now has been reformed for the future. The Faculty Senate last week voted to change it. So that's one issue. Another issue for me is, in fact, that I see the university being offered as an implicit platform. It's Brittany mentioned the sort of implicit endorsement that really goes beyond the issue of hearing controversial views or...
Is it? You think it is an implicit endorsement? Do you think Bob Kerry is going to endorse John McCain for president?
Well, I wouldn't put it quite that way. But what I really mean by endorsement is that it allows McCain to use his having spoken at the New School as a public relations chip, if you will. It allows him to say, I'm still a moderate and I'm still a maverick, even though I went to speak at Jerry Falwell's Liberty University.
Do you think that makes him not a moderate or not a maverick, the fact that he spoke to Liberty University?
I think his positions on the social issues of a woman's right to choose, of gay marriage and other gay rights issues, and his staunch not only support for the Iraq War and for President Bush in that arena, but for preemptive war in the 2000 campaign. All of those things, make him overall very much a conservative, despite a few, more liberal-seeming things that he does from time to time.
My guests on WNYC are a student and a faculty member from the New School who are protesting the invitation of John McCain to be the commencement speaker later this week, Brittany Charlton. Charlton is the student. She's the New School University Student Senate Vice Chairman. And Jan Klussen is a poet and a creative writing teacher at Eugene Lang College at New School University. Coming up after you're here, we're going to talk about McCain's politics with an LA Times columnist named Chait, who had a piece the other week where he said, and he calls himself a liberal, this columnist, and he says, McCain is clearly happy to be denounced by liberals like me. It reassures conservatives who correctly distrust McCain's popularity with the liberal media and whom McCain needs to make him president. Well, he writes, I'm not going to give him the pleasure. Go ahead, Senator, flip-flop away. I know you're with us at heart. In other words, he thinks that McCain is playing the right now, and that he really is kind of a moderate, and he's pandering to Falwell U and people like that in order to get the nomination, but then he's going to be a moderate if elected.
But what then does one say about his consistent war support, his anti-choice positions, his anti-gay positions? Are we to think that he would then become moderate on those issues if elected? Because those have been really career-long, perhaps not quite so much on gay issues, but certainly anti-choice and pro-war.
Is it possible that you're playing into his hands as he vies for the Republican nomination by making him look so unacceptable on the left that then the Falwell U people of the world will find it easier to embrace him, and then, he'll wind up getting the nomination a little more easily?
I suppose that's possible. However, I can't quite imagine any supporter of Jerry Falwell being so impressed that this guy is too conservative for the new school, so that we therefore must embrace him. I think it would take a little bit more than that, probably.
Same question to you, Brittany. If he's engaging in a calculated political commencement barnstorming campaign right now, speaking to Falwell U, speaking to the new school, do you not play into his political agenda by making a fuss about it?
I mean, it's certainly possible, as Jan said, but it seems like the remarks that we've gotten from his office, that he isn't necessarily all that aware of the amount of steam that this campaign has received at the new school. So I don't know necessarily from the amount of awareness. And I mean, really, I think it's more important from the student end that we're really speaking out on behalf of the university and the, you know, the students' views. So I don't know that we're really keeping in mind the larger issue of his possible and likely presidential campaign.
What if the new school had invited a Democratic presidential hopeful with whom you agree on some issues and disagree on some issues? Would you have had a similar reaction?
Well, that was actually the original idea to have a speaker was going to be Barack Obama, who actually had to decline because of a scheduling conflict. I mean, I think that people would have been excited to hear a speaker. I mean, it is, as Bob Kerry has said, exciting to have a big name come to a school that isn't an Ivy League. And then that's something that's important for a president as well as the Board of Trustees to get. So, I mean, we're not always necessarily going to agree with any senator because, people who are politicians do run in the mainstream. But I think that they wouldn't have necessarily completely contradicted most of our views and that of our education.
When you say that of your education, how would you characterize your education?
I think that almost everyone at the new school, not in their individual views, but in basis of what the university was founded on progressive ideas and questioning authority, that's really instilled within us.
But what's the point of a university education if you come in with a political orthodoxy and are determined to leave with the same one?
I don't think that it's necessarily about like indoctrinating students and having a particular idea, but us all coming in and having this same idea. I mean, it's very common for students at the new school to have this more left-leaning politics. But, I mean, at the same time, I don't think that that's really what our education's about. You know, we're really taught to, really question authority. And that's what we're doing here in questioning this speaker.
Professor Clausen, same question. Do you agree with her up and down that answer?
About what the new school education is about?
Yeah.
I would say yes. Overall, faculty and students alike are probably more left-leaning in their politics, but very willing to debate various points of view and hear various points of view. To me, the manner in which Senator McCain was chosen is a very top-down kind of statement about and the...
You're making it about process now. But if that process had resulted in a speaker who you support, I have a feeling you wouldn't be here talking about process.
That's correct. And in fact, President Kerry has taken a number of top-down decisions, however, that I strongly disagree with, like establishing a cooperative relationship with the FBI, but I haven't gone out and protested them because one chooses one's battles. I wouldn't think it was appropriate to invite Hillary Clinton, either myself personally.
We have 30 seconds left. How different is it from the students who go to Falwell U to be reinforced in their beliefs coming in? Is it to have students coming in and say, well, we're going to this school because it's politically progressive and we're going to come out politically progressive?
I think that in this society, which currently is very much controlled by right-wing ideas, we need some spaces where there's a little more expansion of alternate points of view. That doesn't mean that those are exclusive spaces where no debate can take place, quite to the contrary, but I think it is legitimate for a university to have a political flavor.
Jan Clausen and Brittany Charlton from the New School, thank you very much for coming in. Good luck to Brian Lehrer and WNYC.
We have nothing to fear from each other. We are arguing over the means to better secure our freedom, promote the general welfare, and defend our ideals. It should remain an argument among friends.
More of Senator John McCain speaking at Jerry Falwell's Liberty University last week. We just heard from a New School student leader protesting the commencement address of John McCain to be delivered on Friday, along with a New School faculty member. Now we'll take a closer look at the senator himself, his record, and his campaign for president. And why did he speak to Jerry Falwell's Liberty University if he thinks Falwell represents intolerance in the party, which he said very explicitly a few years ago? With me now is Jonathan Chait, senior editor at The New Republic and a columnist at the Los Angeles Times. He wrote that article that I quoted from a little earlier, a column really, called The Hunt for the Real McCain. Jonathan, thanks a lot for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let me just read back the same ending of that column that I read to the previous guest. You wrote, McCain is clearly happy to be denounced by liberals like me. It reassures conservatives who correctly distrust McCain's popularity with the liberal media and who McCain needs to make him president. Well, I'm not going to give him the pleasure. Go ahead, Senator, flip-flop away. I know you're with us at heart.
Yeah.
So what are you trying to say there?
Well, I thought it was pretty clear. I think McCain is a progressive. I think a lot of conservatives think the same thing. At heart, I think what he's doing is he's trying to suck up to the right wing of the Republican Party to convince them that he's safe to be their nominee. And you can certainly say that what he's doing is unseemly. You can certainly say that he's not the straight talker he puts himself forward as, and I agree with all that. What I was responding to was a lot of people say, see, you know, McCain is a right-wing conservative. He's always been a right-wing conservative. Now we know what we've always known. And what I was trying to argue is that's pretty obviously not the case. If you look at his record, and if you look especially what happened with him, starting with the 2000 presidential campaign, especially 2000, 2001, 2002, he moved significantly to the left. He was an important progressive force in American politics. He obviously was undergoing an ideological conversion. A lot of people around him were saying so. It was clear in issue after issue he took. He's quite obviously tacking back to the right as hard and as fast as he can. But I think the question of what he actually believes is much more complicated than that. And I think if you look at it, I think he definitely moved to the left in his beliefs, and what he's doing now is posturing.
Well, the previous guest said when they look at his whole career, on really big issues, he's been very consistently very conservative. So on the war in Iraq, certainly, on gay rights, on abortion rights, and so that's plenty for students at the New School, some of them, to say, look, this guy is fundamentally not on my side.
On gay rights, I think he, I don't have all the specifics of what he did. He clearly, I mean, everyone was against gay rights 20 years ago. He clearly moved left on that. On abortion, I think he's like a lot of people in the Republican Party, or at least sort of at the elite level of the Republican Party. They don't care about the issue. In their heart, they're probably pro-choice, but they're sort of formally pro-life. He made a couple of comments, like in 2000, he was asked by a reporter, he said, quote, certainly in the short term or even in the long term, I would not support the repeal of Roe versus Wade. He also said that, if his daughter wanted to have an abortion, that was her decision, he would leave it up to her. And then, of course, every time he says something like this, it would create an uproar, and then he'd go and, read from the card saying, oh, I'm strongly pro-life, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, every time he votes, he is. In his heart, is he? I don't think so. But, I concede, on abortion, that's not really an issue where he's moved. Where he's moved the most is on domestic economic policy, on issues like taxes, on issues like regulation, and the role of business. And this is really central, because this is central to what the Republican Party has become. And this is my argument, is that the Republican Party has really become a K Street party. And that's almost the sort of the litmus test for Republican Party loyalty, is you have to be on board with issues that are important to American business. And tax cuts are right at the top of the list. You have to be for, basically cutting taxes for the wealthy as low and as possible, as fast as possible, all the time, no matter what, under any circumstances.
So,
and McCain was not. He he voted against and criticized Bush's 2001, 2003 tax cuts and said they were too big, they were fiscally irresponsible. He said they gave too much money to the rich and it was morally wrong to do so. And that is an incredible apostasy for a Republican to do.
So let's open up the phones here on two tracks. For one thing, Jonathan Chait's column in the LA Times is called The Hunt for the Real McCain. If you've been following John McCain's career, who is the real John McCain to you? Do you agree with our guests from the New School previously? Do you agree more with Jonathan Chait? Do you find McCain a straight talker? Do you find him not a straight talker, but somebody who, or do you think he's just doing what he has to do to get the nomination and you would trust him more than any of the other Republican presidential hopefuls if you're a Democrat? And what if you're a Republican? Who is the real John McCain? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And what about on the commencement speaker question? In a way, the student's main point was, you know, John McCain just makes most of us go, ugh. And so if you're going to have a commencement address, this is not, they argued, like other speeches. They wouldn't protest having John McCain come and give a speech at the university. But as far as a commencement address to an overwhelmingly politically liberal student body, it just makes them go, ugh. So what do you want for a commencement address? Do you want somebody who kind of is consistent with your values, who's at least going to help you feel good that day? You know, what if it was 1973 and Richard Nixon was going to give your commencement address? For those of you from another generation, how would you have felt about that, even though he was the president of the United States? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Jonathan Chait, my guest, LA Times columnist and writer for The New Republic. And Jonathan, you had another McCain column in which you said he's a weasel, but he's my weasel.
Right.
What did you mean by that?
Well, what I was trying to argue is you sort of look at his tax and his political positioning, and you have to say, okay, when was he faking it and when was he, you know, acting out of genuine conviction? Because the McCain of now is obviously a very, very different figure than McCain of, you know, 3-4 years ago. The Falwell speech is obviously a pretty crystallizing, defining moment in that change, you know, from denouncing him as an agent of intolerance to basically helping to rehabilitate Falwell's career.
But is that what he did? Let's stop on that for a second.
Sure.
Because he went to Falwell U,
yeah,
and he gave a speech. We played a couple of clips from it in which he was making the point that, you know, America needs everybody to hang together. And yes, we have issues, but we're not each other's enemies. There's a real enemy out there. And that, in a way, is kind of putting it to the ethic of Jerry Falwell, who has this, you know, good guys, bad guys, us against them, saints versus sinners view of Americans.
Oh, I don't agree. I mean, he was basically saying that, and he was saying Falwell is part of our team. He's, you know, he's one of us. He's an American. I disagree with him on this and that, but fundamentally, we have all these things in common. And that's not the way, you know, that's not the way we tend to think of the country in terms of, you know, the extremists, the Farrakhans and the Falwells, and that's not the way McCain has ever framed it before. And beyond the speech itself, of course, he could have given that speech anywhere. He gave the speech at Liberty. He met with Falwell.
Mm-hmm.
In so doing, I think he really rehabilitated Falwell and gave Falwell a relevance that he hadn't had before, because Falwell's power and his relevance had really been slipping. And the reason, you know, Falwell went to McCain is because he saw someone who was desperate to give any sign of approval to the far right of the Republican Party.
And McCain did say 6 years ago, Falwell was, quote, an agent of intolerance,
right,
who belonged to the, quote, outer reaches of American politics. So he,
right,
didn't exactly go to Falwell U and say that the other day.
He didn't exactly say that. He didn't say anything about that. He avoided the issue totally. And so the fact that he had to go to Falwell, that makes Falwell an important person again. And so I mean, this was the greatest thing that's happened to Jerry Falwell in 10 years.
But he's a weasel, but he's your weasel.
He is, yeah. So, I mean, I think you have to say, okay, so when was he posturing and when was he doing the real thing? And I think some people on the other side would say, well, McCain was just posturing in 2000, 2001, 2002, when he, you know, basically co-sponsored the entire Democratic agenda. I mean, this is actually some important information that's relevant to the debate, so let me quickly point out some of the things he was doing in the first,
mm-hmm,
couple years of the Bush administration. He co-sponsored a Patient's Bill of Rights with John Edwards and Ted Kennedy. He co-sponsored a measure to allow the importation of generic prescription drugs with Chuck Schumer, which the prescription drug lobby was fervently opposed to. He co-sponsored with Kerry a measure to raise automobile emission standards. He co-sponsored with Lieberman legislation on the closing the gun show loopholes and reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Basically, the entire Democratic agenda for the first couple years of Bush was co-sponsored with John McCain. So in response to that, people say, well, he was just posturing then. You know, he was just doing what was good for him politically. Now his true colors are coming out. But, I mean, I think that's a pretty implausible reading of the facts. McCain always thought that he had no chance of he wasn't going to switch to the Democratic Party. He knew the Democratic Party activists wouldn't accept him, and I think, you know, what you're seeing this protest is pretty good evidence of for his point of view, although, you know, I think he could have pulled it off, but that was always his thinking. And that he wanted to run for president as a Republican, and in what he was doing in 2001, 2002, and 2000 was totally contrary to that. He was in every way he was alienating himself from the party he was hoping to lead. So, you know, I don't see how it could possibly have been in his self-interest to do so. What he's doing now is obviously in his self-interest.
Let's take some phone calls. Tommy and Dobbs Ferry on WNYC. Hi, Tommy.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I don't think it really matters. What his positions have been, we can't obviously vote him in or decide, well, you know, I think I really know what he's about, and then vote him in just kind of like on faith that he's sort of pandering to the Republicans.
You have to take what he's saying now as being the John McCain of now, is what you're saying?
You kind of do, you know?
Right. So there's a leap of faith that Tommy says you'd have to make in order to trust that McCain is lying now. Jonathan Chait, what do you say to Tommy?
You know, I think there's a certain amount of truth in that. You know, you have to have some pause when someone is reinventing himself like that, because you say, well, how is he going to reinvent himself next? So it's not something you can completely dismiss.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone should completely dismiss it. But again, when you have someone who's got such an open contradiction in his record and his ideological persona, you have to make some attempt to figure out what's real and what will he do when he actually gets into office. Because of course, once you get into office, then you're much less fettered by those activists who put you there in the first place. Then if you were the president, then you can sort of do what you want. And if I'm a conservative, I'd be incredibly nervous about allowing this guy to take over when the promises he's making to me seem so insincere.
Tommy, thanks for your call. John in Easton, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Good morning. Good morning to you too, John.
Thank
as
you.
Brother-in-law of Megan, my daughter.
Oh, hello.
Oh, okay. Old home week. You guys can get together for lunch after the show.
Brian, I wanted to catch up on your question as to who would I want as a commencement address speaker.
Uh-huh.
And I certainly would want someone with character enough who would represent himself truly and who has stood up for himself and his family and his history. As I recall back to the activities of Bush in South Carolina and his group of dirty tricksters blasting McCain and his family, now roll the tape forward and you see Senator McCain cuddling up to Bush and singing his praises, leaves a big hole in his character for me. I think it's way beyond posturing, John.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to start a family rupture. And I think that's right. I mean, it's unseemly, but politicians do really unseemly things. I think you can look at what Hillary Clinton is doing, you know, cuddling up to the Republicans who tried to impeach her husband.
Well, two wrongs don't make a right.
No, that's right. But, I mean, I think those sorts of compromises are pretty endemic in politics. So I think if you're looking for someone who won't ever do that, you're going to be looking a long time for someone you can vote for.
Oh,
well, there's a difference, I think, compromise on policy and compromise on character and family and reputation. There is a line to be drawn, and I think McCain has shown us that his line is so self-serving that it's a non-volatile position.
I can see already that Thanksgiving's going to be hell in the Chait household this year. John,
it's always fun getting together with Jonathan. I've got a great deal of respect for his views and all of his work.
Thank you very
Thank
much
you.
For your call. Lillian in Gladstone, New Jersey, on WNYC. Hi, Lillian.
Hello. Good morning. I wanted to make a comment about this young lady who spoke from the New School, I believe it is.
Right.
That she said that they're progressive.
Yeah.
My definition might be different from hers, because progressive means being open-minded to all points of view. So you would want to be exposed and learn from, you know, all, both sides. And I don't think that...
Right. So her point is, yes, that's true most of the time, but this is the commencement address. This is the graduation. This is the party, where people want to feel good as they're leaving college. And so you don't have somebody as the speaker who's going to make a large percentage of the students go, ugh. Now, who would that be for you in politics? Who would make you have that reaction?
Of going, ooh?
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah, anyone.
Anyone in politics? To be honest, I think right now Hillary Clinton.
Okay, so let's say that you were graduating on Friday, and most of the students felt like you did about Hillary Clinton, and the president of the school booked Hillary Clinton to be the commencement speaker. Would you be doing what this other student is doing?
I'd speak out against it, but you know what? I'd like to hear what she has to say. I really would. I would be open-minded. I grew up in a political family. I've been involved since I was 16, on and off with various campaigns, and I like going to be exposed to different viewpoints. That's how I learned. And I think that John McCain, from my point of view, is trying to bridge. He's trying to be a diplomat. I think he's learning as he grows politically, and he's trying to build a good base of different viewpoints. And I don't like it when in America we have to pigeonhole everybody, liberal or conservative. You know, it's too bad.
So for you, Lillian, when you hear, you know, that 6 years ago McCain said that Jerry Falwell represented intolerance in America, and then he goes to speak at Falwell U and doesn't say anything like that, which is the real John McCain for you? Is there one?
Yes. He's being open-minded.
Open-minded.
I think he's being open-minded. He's learning. He's seeing different viewpoints. He's going to take it all in and then figure out the direct course.
And trying to build bridges, I guess.
Yes,
the bottom line.
And this country needs it. I mean, we're very divided in so many major issues. And I think that he might be quite the excellent leader if people just gave him a chance.
Lillian, thanks so much for calling. I appreciate it a lot. And Jonathan Chait, we've only got about half a minute left. I guess that's the question, is if McCain becomes the next president, after doing whatever, you know, weaseling around he has to do or feels he has to do to be elected, will he be able to build bridges?
It's a good question. I think he probably will. The interesting thing with McCain is what promises is he making behind closed doors, and what mechanisms is the right going to have to hold him to those promises? And that's the sort of scary thing. That's a legitimately scary thing, and that's what people need to try to figure out with him. I don't think he's making a lot of truly hard and fast promises, but we'll have to see. I do think he does believe in this idea of unity. I think he would have governed after September 11th in a completely different way than Bush had. And I think he does see the sort of primacy of foreign affairs in the post-September 11 world and the kind of historic need for unity and recreating the sort of political arrangement we had in the country, you know,
and
in the Cold War years.
The last
Kennedy,
word.
The Kennedy idea.
Jonathan Chait writes for the LA Times and the New Republic. Thanks so much for coming on with
Thanks
us on short
me.
Notice today. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Teachers, what do cell phones mean in your school? We'll take your calls. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC, New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.